Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina, and today is Monday, April 27th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 33, the third paragraph, beginning with To Be Gravely Affected. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, but try and get them to see it. Today's readers are Melissa S., the 12 steps, Mary C., the 12 traditions. Our Big Book readers are Jessica C. in the text, Nancy P. on page 164, and Robin P. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Kathy M., and our second hour host is Tony B. The share ID for Sunday, April 26, 2026, is 23,400. That's 23,400. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Melissa S. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, Melissa S. from New Jersey. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Excuse me. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I'll now ask Mary C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you so much. This is Mary C., recovered compulsive overeater in Italy, and here are the traditions of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food. Oh, sorry. That's the steps. Let me get here. Okay. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and television and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you, Mary. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism, on page 33, the third paragraph, beginning with, to be gravely affected, and we'll be reading that one paragraph, ending with, but try and get them to see it. I will now ask Jessica C. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers, who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics, are astonished at their inability to stop. We who are familiar with the symptoms see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try to get them to see it. And then the asterisk says, true when this book was first published, but a 2014 U.S.-Canada membership survey showed about 12% of AAs were 30 and under. So I guess what this is saying, or the spirit of this, is that addicts, some have higher bottoms or lower bottoms than others, and can come in all varieties. I think that's especially true of compulsive overeaters, where you could be someone like me who was overweight or someone who was underweight and was prone to restriction, or maybe at a normal weight, but was doing a combination of behaviors. I've spent, time at different, or places, I spent time at different points in the spectrum. I usually had weight to lose, but the amount of weight would change. I guess what was always true is that I felt deeply abnormal when it came to food. I always knew that deep down, that any attempt to eat normally wouldn't last very long, and that I had an inability to stop being obsessed with food, and that I was gravely affected, just like it says here, and that you know, I tried many different human solutions. None seemed to work, and that I needed a spiritual answer to this problem. And yeah, thank you, God, that I have found that spiritual answer. And I have neutrality with food today. It's honestly a miracle. Yeah, I guess the where it says that women have higher bottoms than men. I mean, that might have been true for me when I first came to OA, but you know, my disease progressed, and I think like the amount I could eat anybody under the table. You know, I was eating shocking amounts of food before I got recovered this time around. And then I, you know, the asterisks at the bottom, like I just have so much respect for AA and the decisions that are made to add these little caveats. I'm sure these decisions are not made lightly. And I just really love how, you know, the authors of this book and the people who I guess make these changes later on, they stay really true to the original text, but they find a way to acknowledge that while the spiritual solution is timeless, the people who come here as the years go by change. Like more and more people are being reached and get to experience this solution, which means I guess the demographics change. That just really assures me that I'm getting, you know, a solution to my compulsive eating problem that's powered by God, but also a fellowship and an organization that makes these decisions that are guided by God. Yeah, I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for getting us started, Jessica. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Shannon
Lee.
Tony B.
So I heard Shanna C., Harlan, Tony. So I think, okay, so what I've got
Lisa
so far
B.
is Lisa B., Shanna C., Harlan G., Tony B.
Janet P.M.
Janet P.M.
Janice P.M.
Robin P.
Kimberly K.
Robin P. Kimberly C. I think we're going to hold off there. Let's see. I'm hearing an echo. Somebody's got a few different sources going on there, if you can check it. All right, so I've got Lisa B., Shanna C., Harlan G., Tony B., Janice P.M., Robin P., and Kimberly C. Did anybody give their name and I didn't call it out? Okay. Lisa B., you are up first, followed by Shanna C. Go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. And thank you, Jessica, for that beautiful lead and reading. So what stands out for me in this paragraph is the word symptoms. And when I think about my own experience, the symptoms were always there. They were just hidden, and they really weren't obvious to others. I remember sneaking into the pantry late at something sweet, and even having the whole pantry fall on me because I was leaning into it. I remember eating raw and powdered sugar, you know, over and over with my finger, and just large amounts of food, and scalloped potatoes and, you know, heavy volume. And those were the symptoms and also the allergy that was there for me from the beginning. But what I'm hearing here and what I've learned is it's not really about the symptoms, it's what the symptoms point to. Like the big book says, our liquor was but a symptom. And for me, that means that the eating was pointing to deeper causes and conditions, you know, but definitely the allergy for sure. But things like fear, insecurity, and trying to manage my life, manage other people's lives, and they pointed to something deeper that just kept progressing over time, that I could hide it for a while, but, you know, it was always there. And then coming into program, it helped me see the truth about who and what I really am and the solution to the 12 steps. And I see that I was gravely affected. And even when it didn't look like it on the outside, I was still gravely affected. And I'm grateful that I don't have to hide from it anymore, that I know who and what I am and the solution. And I have my hand in that solution, my life in that solution. So thank you so much. It's so good to hear all of you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Shanna C., you are up next, followed by Harlan G. Go ahead, Shanna.
Good morning, Rick. This is Shanna C. Grace. It's Shanna, I think. Shanna C., grateful recovery.
Yeah, Shanna C., you are up.
Awesome. All right. Recovered from Tennessee. Thank you, Rick, for leading the meeting, and thank you so much, Jessica, for your share, and Lisa, who went ahead of me. I don't really have a whole lot to say other than my own personal experience after what has already been shared. One thing that really just jumps out to me is where it says, we here are familiar with the symptoms. See large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try to get them to see it. I know that for me, I could not see that I had a problem either way, because whether I was restricting too much, if I was restricting, I thought I was being healthy and I was dieting and trying to do the right thing in order to get to a good weight so that I feel good about myself, so that other people think well of me, so that, you know, I'm accepted better in the world or whatever. And then at the same time, I'm like, when I would eat, I would compare that opposite. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody has a weight problem. Everybody's on a diet. I mean, look at all of the weight programs out there and the weight loss and this and that. I mean, but I do remember being little and watching all the infomercials and things, and just that becoming an idol for me, that somehow someday I'm going to look like the little fitness bunny on TV and everything will be okay. And then the people in my life, my mom and my people, would stop calling me Shamu the Whale. You know, I had a teacher that called me Shamu the Whale. I was in sixth grade. It was all year long. He actually encouraged the other kids to make fun of how fat I was. And then stuff like that. But I am so grateful for the doctor's opinion and the people in this book who are properly armed with the facts about themselves, and the people in this meeting who have worked these steps, who know what it means to be a real compulsive overeater. And for me, how I identify in is, no matter how great the necessity or the wish, I cannot control and enjoy my food. And no matter what weight I get to or how good I look, it's never going to be enough. And those two things will hijack me, and I need a power greater than myself to enable me to live without picking up that first compulsive bite of that ingredient that's going to trigger the allergy, that's going to cause me to overeat, or the opposite extreme where I'm constantly thinking about what everybody's going to think about me, about how awesome I am when I look a certain way. And when I have both those things in play, I'm one sick puppy, and I'm so grateful I don't have to live that way today. Thank you, God. And thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank you for the people who are willing to help me. And this Design for Living that really does work. And thanks for your special edition yesterday, Rick. That's all I have.
Well, thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. All right, Harlan G., you are up next, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Harlan.
Thank you very much. Shanna, I'm sorry I jumped the gun. I had it wrong. Okay, anyway, sorry I jumped the gun. Rick, thank you for your special edition yesterday, and thank you for your service this morning. You were amazing yesterday. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. For generations, it was believed that alcoholism had different bottoms. Some people were high bottom, some people were low bottom. Bill Wilson talks about this in many of his podcasts. He also refers to this in the 12 and 12. He refers to it slightly differently here, very subtly, But this is, I believe, after 47 years of observation, and I can't prove this. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But this is my belief. Take it or leave it. I believe that this is a spectrum disorder. And the reason that I believe that it is a spectrum disorder is after 47 years here, after observing thousands and thousands of people here, I believe that we are affected identically with the physical allergy and the twist of the mind. We are not affected equally. We are not. I was 335 pounds as a senior in high school. Shanna just referred to the fact that when she was in sixth grade, she was referred to as Shamu the whale. There are people on this line right now that were affected as children. There are people on this line right now that will tell you that until they were 20, 30, sometimes as old as 40 and 50, food was not a problem for those people. It is, in my opinion, a spectrum disorder. Now, what are we going to do with that information? What does that information do for us? Well, here's the bad news, or here's the good news, whatever you want to do with it. It doesn't matter. Here we are. What are we going to do about it now? And we could analyze, I was 600 pounds by the time I graduated college, and I was this, and it doesn't matter. What matters is only a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps is going to help me. On page 43 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, once more, see, he's already told us this several times, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. So no matter where I am on the spectrum, that's true for me. I think it's true for you from what I hear every day. Except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. Now, here's the kicker. His defense must come from a higher power. So whether I am 335 pounds as a senior in high school, or whether I am anorexic to the point of my own destruction, starving to death in the richest country in the world, the United States of America, it doesn't matter. Because only a spiritual awakening is going to help me. And that is the only salvation I have, is through a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. Thank you for your service, Rick. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. Tony B., you are up next, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you for your service today, and thank you so much for your special edition yesterday. It was amazing. And my name is Tony B. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And thank you to the lead share and those who've shared already. Gravely affected, I think, could be synonymous with being a real compulsive overeater. It's a deadly disease. This is critical. This is serious. I'm the real thing. And this inability to stop means that I am gravely affected. Because of the peculiar mental twist, I couldn't stop. I could stop for periods of time, but I always started again. I always picked up my alcoholic foods again and my alcoholic behaviors. For me, I didn't want to stop when I was young. So there was no chance of me doing so, because you kind of got to want to seek help and have any chance of recovery. And I didn't want to. The food was doing a lot for me. I think it's true that it's not dependent on length of time or quantities. I can be a real compulsive overeater regardless of how long I compulsively overeat for, or how much I compulsively overeat, because this is a physical condition. And I believe, for me, that I've had it from childhood. I remember the effect that food had on me, the obsession to get more, the laser focus on my friend's plate, you know, as I wished that I had another one of those crispy coated chicken pieces. You know, what I had was just not enough. the laser focus on the cakes and sweets and crisps at children's parties, and that pull back again and again and again to the kitchen for more buttered crackers, more choc ices, more bags of crisps. That was showing me that once I began, I had no control. No control once I started on these, on the sweets, on the crispy fatty combinations, on butter for me. You know, I just had no control over the amount that I had. And then once I wanted to stop, you know, once I came into OA, I was astonished at my inability to. You know, I needed to then, I wanted to, and I thought that just knowing would be enough. You know, I came into the rooms, I admitted, yes, I'm a compulsive overeater. Okay, I have to not eat certain foods, fine. Not fine, because of the mental twist. And, you know, it says here, you know, try and get them to see it. Well, how could I see it before I was completely beaten down? It takes what it takes. It took me years of blissful not knowing, I would say, like as a youngster, using it enjoyably, although that's questionable. Then years of pain, but no desire to stop because it was doing something for me. I couldn't imagine letting go of it. And then years of being in OA, relapsing, you know, and that was
time, Tony.
And just to finish, Rick, thank you. I heard you. Just to say in finishing, you know, what did I see? Once I got in, I saw that I needed entire abstinence so as not to trigger the allergy, and I saw that I needed a psychic change so as to deal with the mental twist. Thank you. I share the time.
Well, thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Janice P.M., you are up next, followed by Robin P. Go ahead, Janice.
And thank you so much, Rick. And yes, I'm going to be one of those wonderful, wonderful share that you had yesterday. I identified so divinely with you. Yes, I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Massachusetts. Well, this is me, the woman. You know, I used to think, oh, you know, I can do this. My real problem with my food and my life was I was always testing my control over my powerless. This disease is so baffling. You know, I started at 8 years old playing picnic with my brother with peanut butter and crackers, you know, put down a towel, and that's why we played. Now, little children usually don't play like that. And, you know, that made me feel good because my mother was working. You know, now I wanted more and more. And that's the biggest symptom that I think is the problem. Well, that's the one of the problems. It's the phenomenon of craving. I had it then. It was never enough peanut butter for me. It was never enough crackers for me. And so just one time, you know, the word craving is a little difficult to understand, but that word means that if I have that substance in my body, then I will crave it if I am a compulsive overeater. And, you know, 76 years later, I am still a compulsive overeater, but I'm not active because I found the solution of my untreated disease, because we know we have a physical disease. I mean, we know when we're powerless over donuts or whatever we are, over people, whatever, we're powerless. You're pregnant, you're powerless. You know, you're pregnant or you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. Well, this phenomenon of craving, I no longer need to crave that particular substance or ingredient because it's not in my body. Now, in my body is a higher power, and I choose to call him God. And that's who I crave. The more I learn, the more I study these steps and live these steps, as was mentioned yesterday, of course. If I live these steps, I'm going to crave it more because it's in my heart. gentlemen, this is the solution. And I've lived many decades, and this is the, and I'm still a compulsive overeater, but I don't eat certain foods and do certain actions. And this is the action for an untreated compulsive overeater. It's so baffling. I could never find the solution until I found it. Here with these 12 steps, I am doomed if only one time I have that craving. And craving isn't
that's fine,
like,
Janice.
Okay, I hear you. I'm going to wrap up. It's not like, oh, I'm pregnant, I crave a pickle. No, that's not craving. That's desire. So if you want the solution, do the action. And here it is for us. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Robin P., you are up next, followed by Kimberly C. Go ahead, Robin.
Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. And again, just amazing yesterday. And thanks for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. You know, I was thinking about the difference between the alcoholic and compulsive overeaters. And, you know, the demographics are very different, of course. And I was thinking of, I once heard that what's the drug that's available to, you know, readily available or introduced to someone to numb their pain. And, you know, for me, it was food. What was readily available that when I was going through all the trauma as a kid, you know, there was food. And I remember I was a potential, you know, compulsive overeater at age 5, you know. I remember just a lot of trauma going on and looking at, you know, a sweet and being able to eat it and saying, it's okay. Everything that's going on is okay because I have this. And as long as I have this, I can get through. And then I remember, you know, in high school, you know, having so many feelings that I was desperate to numb and thinking, well, as long as I get to college, I won't be feeling this way anymore and I won't need to be a bulimic anymore or an anorexic anymore. I won't need the food to be my God as soon as I get out of here. And then as soon as I got to college, I took me and the, you know, the physical allergy and the mental obsession with me. And until I had the solution and was ready to use it, I was of the hopeless variety. And I'm just so grateful. I had such a low bottom and there were so many places along the way where I would have thought, okay, that's it. And looking at other people, I would, I say when I work with people, are you willing to go to any length? Just, you know, I pray that you're at bottom. Are you willing to go to any length? And people say they're not ready yet. And I would think, oh, you're kidding. And I'm sure people thought that with me, like, wow, it just seems like a really low bottom. Are you sure? You know, and it just takes what it takes. And okay, boy. And you know, I'm so eternally grateful for these, you know, over 10 years of being willing to go to any length to recover one day at a time, and for these steps and the miracle of recovery, and for all of you, and reaching up and reaching out, and listening to you guys, you're so inspiring. And when I'm going through feelings, you know, again, you know, I'm going through feelings of, you know, how we navigate moving to London with these two dogs from Costa Rica that we have, and just it's really challenging and very heart-wrenching for me. And this would have been one of those
things. This time, Robin.
Thank you. I would have been so in the food. And I'm just so grateful that I have the opportunity to grow up instead of growing out. God bless all of you with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Tennessee. All right, Kimberly C., you are up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Good morning, everyone. It's Kimberly K. from New Hampshire, and I continue to be reminded of the title of our group, which is A Vision for You, A Vision for Me, A Light That Came Into My Life for the Third Time, and I Was Brought to My Knees. I had been denying, and thought I had a better way, and that just kept making me heavier and heavier and heavier, even though through my whole process of gaining weight, I denied it. And then when I did come back to OA, I quickly realized that, no, you have an allergy to food and you definitely have a mental twist, and only God can carry me through that, and has. I started late high school, all through college, enjoying liquid sugar, and that was sneaky. And then got married, was thin, attractive, beautiful measurements, and then had children. And somehow, I just went to the food and the food, and I would blame it on pregnancies and, oh, I got this, I'll lose the weight. And finally, I did see the light, and that was God's divine intervention. I do believe it was no coincidence that I came back into our program and met such beautiful women and men in this vision for you. Vision, seeing the light, seeing how God really can work in your life, Kimberly, and how about you put your will down. Right. So I am grateful that I came back, even though I denied the whole time that I was getting bigger. People knew it. Didn't see that glow in my face. Very concerned for my health. And I was dying. It's like it's common sense. Well, it isn't common sense to me. I didn't think I could get out of it, that I, denial. I'm not really that fat. And yet I really became extremely overweight. And little by slow, I finally came to my knees. And I am grateful for that, because I have been exposed and begin to learn that the mental twist.
Tom Kimberly?
No problem. The mental twist brought me again to my knees to realize that the 12 steps could bring me to sanity and more awareness and not denial. So I'll pass. Everybody have a great Monday. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly Kay from New Hampshire. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 33, the third paragraph, beginning with, to be gravely affected, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with, but try and get them to see it. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share this morning?
Darian K.
Grace B. Lisa B.
Marian.
Julius.
Julian S.
Okay, I'm not sure. So was it Marian K?
Darian.
And
Darian with a D.
Darian K and Lisa B. I missed a couple
Lauren
names
Grace
I know. Lauren Grace. Who is that again? Sorry, after Lauren Grace.
Jillian S.
Jillian S., and then there's somebody else in there. Who came in at the same time with Jillian? I've got Darian K., Lisa B., Lauren Grace B., I believe, Jillian S. I think I've got that right. Who else?
Allison B.
Donna.
Allison
Donna
B.
M.
Donna M. Okay. All righty, let's see if we can get you six in this morning's meeting. I've got Darian K, Lisa B, Lauren Grace B, Jillian S, Allison D, I believe, Donna M. If I got your name or first initial wrong, I apologize. Please remember to include your state or country you're calling from when you introduce yourself. Go ahead, Darian.
Good morning, Rick. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good, good. You never know with the car here. I am just so grateful to be on the line with all of you and share. I haven't shared in a little bit, and it's not because I don't want to. It's just sometimes hard to get in, and other times I just love listening. I just have to sit back, take it all in, and relate. And I relate all the time. I'm still amazed after all these years how amazing, people's shares, and someone called it testimonies, these 3-minute testimonies, just resonate with me. Because in the disease, especially when I was younger, I felt very alone. I felt very weird. I felt very odd. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had friends, but I didn't, I wanted boyfriends. I couldn't get them because I was heavy, and I definitely liked the food more than most people, look forward to things. I remember practically getting a euphoric feeling of getting certain foods on a Friday night. The smell of, picking it up and driving home with it and eating it and then passing out and then having leftovers the next day, just crazy. And just not understanding, what is wrong with me? I really didn't understand until I came to this program that it's about the food, but it's not about the food. The food is definitely, something that is giving me something. It's giving me comfort. It's giving me, it's letting me be less fearful. It's letting me deal with life because I do not want to face life. And if it's uncomfortable or has anything to do with work or energy, I don't want any part of it. I want to just, coast along. And that's not life. That's not life on life's terms. And it's sad to even think that, and I also think about, when we talk about the man of 30, quote unquote, I think about my daughter. My daughter's in her 30s. And, I believe in my heart of all hearts that she has this disease. Ducks have ducks, as they say. And I think that I have a little duck, little chick. And, I feel for her, and I don't think she knows it. I mean, and I've been in program, I was in program before she was born. So she's known this program and this way of life, but I don't know. I really like what was said earlier about sort of a spectrum of people. This is called Overeaters Anonymous, but don't get caught up.
That's time, Darian.
On the name. Yep, thank you. Don't get caught up on our name. You don't have to be an overeater. You could be an undereater, too. And so I hope and pray someday she'll find the solution like I did in my 20s. And I'm so grateful that I have this solution today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Darian. And before you go, where are you calling from? Okay, we'll move on to Lisa B. Lisa B., you are up next, followed by Lauren Grace B. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you for your service. This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive eater. I'm from Michigan. Kind of just wanted to claim my seat. When I was looking at this and listening to the other shares, looking back, when I was younger, it's clear to me now that I had the disease back then, and I was acting on the disease compulsively, but it hadn't caught up with me. I was a normal body weight for years and years and years and couldn't see because I was caught up in other addictions at the time. But somebody introduced me to OA years ago. I think she took me along because she wanted support when she went. But I went there with her one time to an OA meeting and thought, those people are crazy. That doesn't apply to me, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, never went back. But now, since looking back, the more I look back, the more I can see the obsession and compulsion in my life as far as food goes. Back then and up until I got into program and got abstinent. And I've been given clarity because of recovery. I know that when I was in the food, I was just insane and very foggy thinking, for sure. So I'm really, really grateful for recovery and OA, and specifically Vision for You, because that helped me immensely. And I think that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. Lauren Grace B., you are up next, followed by Jillian S. Go ahead, Lauren Grace.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for your service. This is Lauren Grace B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in South Jersey. And I am so grateful for this paragraph because this qualifies me to be a part of this group. I came in, I guess I was 28 when I came in. I came in 1991. And the most I've had to lose to get down to a normal body size, or really an ideal body size, is 20 to 30 pounds. That is the most that you could see on the outside of me. Although in my family of origin, that was seen as a tragedy. There was a lot of pressure on me to be thinner. So I came in and, you know, the group I was in when I first came in, it was kind of a rules and tools kind of group. And the sponsors would all qualify as to weight loss and time of back-to-back abstinence. And, you know, you'd hear 100 pounds and 80 pounds. And here I was with 25 pounds, you know, maintaining a 25-pound weight loss. But my head was just as crazy as anyone else's, constantly on and off the scale. How much should I weigh? What should I eat? You know, driven by that obsession, driven by the phenomenon of craving. And for a while, that rules and tools worked really well because I did believe that I came in believing I couldn't eat sugar. And then it was revealed to me more and more foods that were triggering the allergy, and I was willing to give them up. So I did have a certain amount of success with the abstinence part of this, and I did have relief. I was able to lose weight and maintain it, but my mind was still crazy. I still had the mental obsession. I was a bit food neutral, but crazy in every other way. So I am grateful to know that whoever we diagnose ourselves, whoever is struggling with food or the mental obsession, is welcome here. We don't have to have a lot of food to eat. I mean, a lot of weight to lose. Personally, I was a grazer. I just ate around the kitchen all day and night. So I never sat down with, you know, a whole box of something or a whole container of something. I just would pick and nibble. But by the end of the night, the result was the same. So I just want to encourage any of you who aren't sure, any newcomers who aren't sure, do I really belong here? Because I don't have a lot of weight to lose and I don't eat huge quantities. Also evaluate your mind. Am I constantly obsessed with weight and food and what my next diet is going to be? And I think that's all I have to share. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you so much, Lauren Grace from New Jersey. All right, Jillian S., you are up next, followed by Allison D. Go ahead, Jillian.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jillian S. I'm from Southwest Florida. Thank you so much, Rick. Your service today and yesterday was awesome. This paragraph just brings me such relief. It's got my name and everything highlighted on it. This was mentioned earlier that this disease is a spectrum, and it could be, for me, I have thought it or seen it as a blessing, both a blessing and a curse, because being early in the spectrum, if we will, or lower on the spectrum, and not having as many like time or quantities, as it says, is still gravely affected. And so this is me to a T. So it's so, it brings me so much gratitude that there's a plan, and that there's tools, and that there's people that have similar experiences. I myself grew up very underweight, so oftentimes I was always encouraged to eat more, you're so thin, and I just ate it up, and I loved it, and although it didn't show much on my body, it has taken a toll on my mind, and so I'm definitely always eager to hear from others that are able to relate to this seemingly like lower end of the spectrum, but I definitely can relate, and this paragraph is a lot of my buy-in. But I'm so glad, like I said, that there's tools and people that have experience with coming up with food plan and action plans and all of the resources that people have been freely giving to me as I just start in the beginning phases of step one here. So thank you so much. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Jillian S. from Florida. Allison D., you are up next. And Donna M., I don't know if we'll be able to get you in on this group, but Allison D., go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Allison B. from Florida, and I just wanted to comment on, for me, what strikes me is the to be. The word to be for me just brings me to tears, because how I can identify into this program is this paragraph right here, that to be gravely affected. I don't have to have the same story as X, Y, or Z. To be in danger of losing my life to this disease, I don't have to have known about it for as long as X, Y, and Z. And it occurred to me as I was listening to everyone share that it's as if someone did have an illness like diabetes or like multiple sclerosis. Nobody in that recovery group is going to say, oh, you've only known about it for 5 years. Don't even think about it. You're not even the worst that it could be. It occurred to me that it finally got into my brain, DNA. It doesn't matter when I finally walked into the rooms and accepted the truth of my powerlessness. What matters is that I have this in my DNA, and therefore it connects me to everyone on the phone and on the line. And that gave me so much peace and warmth, because so much of my life, I thought I was on the other side. I thought that there was a wall between me and the world. And I have so much respect for this program that has allowed me to lift that wall and to be a part of life again. And I am so truly grateful to be on this journey, even though I'm at the beginning. And as some have said to me, more will be revealed to me. And I just wanted to share that perspective and my experience. And I also just wanted to say thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Allison B. from Florida. Donna N., you've got a little over a minute if you want to take it. Would anybody else like to come on and share for a minute?
May I be heard?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I'm Donna M. Hi, I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada, and I just wanted to share briefly that this section ties in with the unnumbered page. And I think it's 299, They Stopped in Time, Part 2, Stories. And that talks about compulsive overeaters, potential compulsive overeaters who came in that weren't gravely affected. And I did have the opportunity to work with one person like that. And I shared my experience, strength, and hope. You know, I came in 6 years after I had transitioned to a compulsive overeater, and I spent 3 decades in and out of the program trying to identify out that I really wasn't that bad. But this is a progressive disease, and I'm just grateful to have been able to share today, and I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna M. from Ontario, for taking us out. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April 27th, 2026, is 23,404. That's 23,404. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. I'm Nancy P., recovering in West Newton, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.